we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, we have made it to Friday once again. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God Monday through Friday. I'm behind this microphone bringing the Word of God to you and sharing the love and the light of Jesus Christ throughout this community and encouraging you to do the same. So thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM this morning or WWBC 1510 AM. And we do pray that you are intentionally making plans to worship the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength this weekend. Don't just do it privately. Do it corporately. Find a church that is near you that's a Bible-preaching church, a church that loves God, loves people, and wants to help you to become the best that you can be. I want to say thank you this morning to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrics, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. First of all, if you don't have an air conditioner, you need one. I mean, it's just the hot part of the season. And even if you like it at 80 in your house, I know a number of people that that's what they keep theirs on. The weather outside can sometimes not make it possible for you to open the windows to even get a cross breeze in. And your house, the heat inside your house can build up rather quickly. So you need an air conditioner. And the second thing I can guarantee you is if you have an air conditioner, sooner or later you're going to need Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric or another air conditioning company to come out and make sure that that thing is working the way that it should. I recommend them very, very highly. They are excellent with electrical work. They've been keeping people cool and powered, the power on and functioning the way that it should be for years and years and years, decades of experience there, and they will be a blessing to you. They're based right here in Rockledge, Florida, but they travel all throughout Brevard County from the southern end to the northern end, and if they can be a blessing to you, give them a call, 321-632-9538. If you do not have an AC company that you deal with or does maintenance on your system, write that number down, because the way that things work is that they normally go south on the least convenient times, and you're going to want somebody that you can call at that point in time. Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538, would serve you well and honestly, and give them a call, 321-632-9538. So here we are, and like I said earlier, I want to encourage you this weekend to go out and worship the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And something is going to happen when you do that. When you have given your everything, God's word says that He's going to give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's when the way that we give sets the floor for how God is going to bless us, give back to us. And so He has already given His all. Therefore, we should give Him our all. And then when we do that, you say, you know what? I didn't hold anything back. And then He says, have I got a reward for you? He told Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. And I'm thankful for salvation. I really am. I'm thankful for the grace that He's given to us. But I believe that He wants us not only to be saved for eternal life in the future, I believe He wants us living victoriously right now. So that's my little spiel. So when you go to church this Sunday, don't go and cross your arms and say, What have you got for me today? Are you going to sing my favorite song? If you're not going to sing my favorite, are you going to sing a song that I know the words to? Do you know that even if you don't know the words, you can close your eyes and you can worship God. And when you hear something in that song, you can say, you know what? Amen to that right there. Amen to that. You have no rival. Amen, God. There's no equal. There is nothing impossible for you. You live forever. You can find something to worship God about in that song. Don't make it about you. Make it about him. Make it about his spirit. Make it about his son. And it will be a blessing to you. I want to take you today. We've been talking about Jesus commanding us to be the light of the world. And so I want to read to you today out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to go back up and reference chapter 3 when we start breaking this down. But I want to start in chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And I read a few verses there longer than I intended. That went all the way to verse number 12. Verse number 1 says, therefore, since we have received this ministry. When you see that word therefore, as someone has said, and they didn't originate it, somebody else originated it. When you see the word therefore, you've got to go back and you've got to look to see what it is therefore. So let me read to you verse number 4 of chapter 3. And it says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient for ourselves or think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses, because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Okay, so now let me drop you down to verse number 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. Okay, take note of that verse right there. Verse number 14, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Take note of that verse. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, since we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Everything that has been talked about in chapter 3 was that since the day of Pentecost, there was a new type of ministry. Jesus came to establish a new covenant. He did that with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He did that with the disciples right before he went to the cross. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And so we're thankful for that new covenant. It is talked about there in verse number 6. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. One of the most easy temptations to fall into is to fall into a legalistic trap where you don't cut anybody any mercy. You only look for a loophole in the scriptures whenever it is to your benefit. The ministry that is being talked about here in chapter 4 that we're looking back in chapter 3 to see is talked about in verse number 8 as well as verse number 6 of chapter 3. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? And so as we're talking about being the light of the world, the way that we do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is through the ministry of the Spirit of God. And the scripture promises that the ministry of the Holy Spirit operating in your life and in my life, in accordance with the Word of God, is going to be more glorious than anything that has ever been seen in our life before. If you want people to be positively impacted through your ministry to the Lord, it needs to be powered by the Holy Spirit. It needs to be Spirit-initiated. It needs to be Spirit-empowered, Spirit-led, and for the glory of God. That's going to bring glory. Anytime we start making something that's supposed to be about God, about us, we're going to fall short of what the goal of that ministry was. It is about serving God and serving people. And ministry should be glorious. It should be something that when it is finished, people are saying, thanks be to God for what he has done in that person's life and what he's doing in my life. So it talks about that glory was passing away. It says, for if what is passing away was glorious, this is chapter 3, verse number 11, what remains is much more glorious. So I want to challenge you, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a women's leader, a men's leader, if you're a youth group leader, a children's church worker, whatever, maybe you help out in the nursery. I want you to begin to pray and ask God to make whatever ministry you do, make it glorious. If it is cleaning the church or mowing the lawn, make it glorious. How do you make it glorious? Some of those things are very, shall we say, mundane and unpleasant tasks. They don't require a lot of thought. Well, one of the things that I do is when I'm doing something that doesn't require a tremendous amount of mental focus, one of the things I do is I also pray while I'm doing that. Did you know that you could pray while you're washing the dishes? You can pray while you are folding laundry. You can worship while you're doing those things. You can pray while you are driving down the street. There's a lot of opportunities that are there, and we can take something that may not seem like it's got a whole lot of life in it, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God can fill that time frame with His presence. And it is glorious. Too many times we settle for routine when God is looking to bring us from glory to glory. The other thing that you can do that can make that ministry glorious, I read about this in a marketing book. The guy who owned the marketing company began his service to the body of Christ as a janitor. And he said, okay, when I go in and do this, I want to ask God to give me insight so that I clean things that nobody else has ever thought to clean. And whenever you have that mindset that whatever you're going to do it for the glory of God, you're going to do it with excellence, you're going to do it so that you represent God well, you're eventually going to find that you're going to serve before kings, as Proverbs talks about. You're not going to serve in obscurity. People are going to recognize the spirit of excellence that is on operation with you. So when our kids were going to camp, I challenged them. I said, okay, I want you to have fun. I want you to have an encounter with God, and I want you to represent Jesus well. Represent Jesus well. And so you and I, we have that opportunity. Okay, verse number 14, we'll talk about that in chapter 3. We'll talk about that more when we get a little later into chapter 4. But it says, but their minds were blinded. Verse number 16, though, says, verse 14 continues, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. Verse number 16, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, I want to encourage you that if you want a breakthrough in your spiritual life, turn more towards Jesus. Turn more towards Jesus. Whenever you repent and you have a change of direction, and I also encourage this, not only change direction, but when you stop running from God and you start running more intentionally towards God, I want to encourage you, hit the accelerator. Hit the accelerator. Run towards God faster than you ever ran away from Him. Run with more intention. Run to as if you were making up for lost time. So, verse number 17 of chapter 3, now the Lord is Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when that veil is taken away, it is so that our vision can be fixated on how marvelous, how holy, how worthy, how glorious the presence of the Lord is, that we realize that we are free, that there is liberty. Now, there is a great misunderstanding about that liberty. We think of liberty in the aspect of, okay, now I can go and do whatever I want. My understanding of biblical liberty is this: I am now free because of the authority of Jesus Christ, his lordship in my life. I am now free to live the life of holiness and godliness that I was incapable of living without him. I am able to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable in his sight, where before Christ, I was only living a life of spiritual disappointment. That is the ultimate in spiritual freedom. Freedom to live the purpose that God created you to live for. Wow. Don't you hate it when there's something inside of your heart and somebody would come along and say, well, no, you can't do that. Joshua told the children of Israel in the book of Joshua chapter 24, he said, you know, choose this day who you will serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the people came back and said, we're going to choose the Lord. And Joshua looked at him and he said, you got to go back and read it for yourself here. He says, you can't do it. It's impossible. You're not going to be able to accomplish this in your flesh. You're not going to be able to accomplish it with the same complaining mindset that you had before. You need a spiritual transformation. You need God helping you to live a life that is going to be pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. That's the freedom that you and I have. And as we see more of Him, as we behold in this spiritual mirror, as it's talking about, the glory of the Lord, we are transformed into the same image. So, how do I want to say this? Do you look different with Jesus in your life than you did before? And I'm not talking about is your nose shorter or your ears bigger. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about, has your countenance changed? Has your heart changed? Here next week, we'll be talking about some other aspects of our life that the enemy will try and get us to settle for a less glorious lifestyle than what God has for us. I believe that God has a lot more that's available to us than what we avail ourselves of. And so you might think that I'm off track. I'm just laying the groundwork for what we're going to be talking about. Well, you know, we're obviously not going to get to it today since there's only about 6.5 minutes left on the program here. But we're talking about spiritual light, living with that supernatural life and how that happens. There are several things that we get to experience in this. And it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. So maybe it's you that I'm talking to today that you're a little disheartened that you haven't seen the fruit that you thought you would have seen by now. You didn't get the breakthrough that you thought you would get. You didn't get the promotion. You're not making as much money. You're not as close to being debt-free as you thought that you were. By now, you thought you would be further along in your spiritual journey. I want to remind you today that because of the work of Christ, you have been entrusted with the ministry of the Spirit of God, and He intends for it to be a glorious ministry. Don't lose heart. Do not be discouraged. I need to focus on my obedience, and I need to trust God with the results. That's where we are in this process. Too many times we want to rely upon the uncertainty of the outcome as an excuse for why we don't step out in wholehearted obedience. And I want to encourage you, let God be God. He's really, really good at it. He's got a few thousand years at the minimum. He's got all of eternity. I'm speaking, you know, in a context of time that you and I can understand. He supersedes time. He's got lots and lots of experience at being God, and He's really, really good at it. If we put our faith in Him to save our souls, we ought to be able to put faith in Him that He's going to be the Lord of the harvest, and He's going to bring us to that place of glorious harvest. He says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Okay? And so the more that we behold Him, the more we're going to renounce the things that are shameful. We're not going to walk in how intellectually crafty we can be, how shrewd we can be. And I found this to be interesting, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. The word of God is the word of truth. And here Paul writes that there are some people who who handle something that is true, that is powerful, that is quick and alive, but they don't do it with integrity. They don't do it with veracity. They handle it deceitfully. They manipulate it for their own means and their own goal. There are people, if they don't like what the Bible says, they will write their own translation so that it speaks in an approving manner of what the Bible clearly says is shameful. And there's a lot that the Bible says is shameful, but there are people, they don't want to give that up. And so they'll do some semantic gymnastics to try and make it sound as if God is approving of it. And I will tell you this, anything that God ever asks you to surrender to Him, He has always got something more glorious waiting for you. It doesn't matter what the sin is. You know, I remember hearing a story when I was in Bible college of a guy who loved to fish. Nothing wrong with fishing. This just happened to be that particular story. And, you know, I could tell you similar stories about golfing. But this guy, he absolutely had his favorite lure, his favorite fishing lure, and he went and he got stuck in the reeds, and he went over there, and he was working diligently to get his lure and fell into the water, and when they found him, he actually drowned in the process. But when they found him, his fist was firmly clenched around his fishing lure. I remember seeing, and I'm assuming that it's still something relevant, about something called a monkey trap, where they would put an item that would be desirable to a monkey down inside this carton, and when the monkey would grab the item, it would cause his fist to be too large to get out of the trap, and that's how they would catch him. They would get him attached to something that he wouldn't let go of. And today, I want to encourage you, don't handle the Word of God deceitfully. Don't be entrapped or enticed by the things of the world. Don't become so attached to things that you want to make excuses for them. Remember, it is the devil that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He is looking to entrap you. The Spirit of the Lord is looking to set you free, transform you from glory to glory, and give you a ministry of the Spirit that will be absolutely glorious. You have a marvelous weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my